You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Hello and welcome to Line Noise. We're out of the studio, which is an absolute delight. And I'm also very pleased to say we have with us Mode Selector. How are you doing?
Hi.
We are very well.
So one of the reasons, one of the many reasons we're talking with you is you've done a DJ Kicks. And I absolutely love DJ Kicks. Was it like a bucket list thing for you to do?
Pretty much. I would say was always on a bucket list, but never happened for some reason. And yeah, this time it happened. It was not really planned. And we talked to Horst, who sadly passed away, the founder and owner of K7 Records, last year about it. And while processing the whole DJ Kicks, he passed away, and yeah, so that was also a very intense moment for everyone involved.
So the mix is really beautiful mix. How do you sort of start? Because it's not like a straight club mix. Where do you go? What's like your first thing you do?
It's a mix for walking across the city. It's for walking your dog. It's to listen in your car. It's a mix for any life circumstances.
Yeah, and we ask ourselves, what is this mix supposed to do when you listen to it? So, listen to it, and we just really didn't overthink. Trying to overthinking it too much, and created it in a moment, so it came together very, very fast, also very quick. So it didn't really take long to make this mix, honestly.
When do you listen to mixes?
I mean, we do a lot of mixes. This is a difference. And I do listen to mixes. I listen to sets, or we are listening to sets from bands and DJs all the time. And but making a mix yourself is very different than just consuming it.
I love podcasts about music. Sometimes you have mixes in that type of podcast, which is a mix. So anyway, a mix is a mix.
Okay, so what's, we talked walking your dog, we talked walking across town. What's the perfect place to listen to this mix?
I would say it's a classic night ride mix, but also good to walk your dog because it's almost 1 hour duration and it's pretty perfect for a dog walk.
Also sitting in the plane and listen to a mix. When we came here to Barcelona today.
You listen to the mix?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It was too short. You know, it's...
it's too short for this flight. Yeah.
I love the mix. Can I say my favorite moment? Yes. I'm not saying I don't like other moments.
I'm curious now.
Beirut.
Is that Beirut track?
No, yeah, it is.
That's joking.
How? Because it's like, I love Beirut, and I never expected to hear Beirut on a mix that, okay, it's not straight club mix, but there's a lot of club beats. So how did that happen?
Honestly, for some reason, we have two songs on this DJ Kicks, which contains church organs. So there's the one from Beirut, and he recorded this song in Norway, I think.
In Hatzel.
In an old church with a very small organ inside. And Shari just put it on a table. He has this, you know, I mean, the difference between us is that I'm more the kind of like DJ person and he is kind of like the avant-garde listener and bringing music which is not useful for DJ mixes, basically. But I was happy about this song because it contains a drum rhythm computer, I could grid on a tempo and could mix it into a sequenced track. And that was for me also a cool moment, from sliding from a Berghain feel into the Beirut world. It was also very funny to get him on the phone to license this track, because he disappeared and nobody could reach him because he just became a father during the licensing process, and we had to ask our friend Christoph Ellinghaus from City Slang Records to sort that out for us. So and then he
showed up at the hospital with the form, like.
he was already at home, but he was like diving somewhere else.
If I may, is that why you work so well as a duo? The kind of more avant-garde with the more club?
I see it different. The how can I say it? Sorry, I lost a few English words. The transition between avant-garde and club music is, for me, it's not really existing. There's a genre like techno related, no? All yesterday we talked to a friend Bambuno in Brussels, and he said house is also techno, and he's right. So it comes all from the blah 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 drum sequence.
Sequenced music or recorded music, you know.
But in these days, electronic music, working with computer, recording real instruments, recording synthesizers, recording it's I think it's not all the same, but it's really related to each other. So what was the question?
I think I was saying why you work so well. The more avant-garde side.
What Chari tried to explain was bringing musical worlds together, and I think we know each other since third grade. Yeah, so this
thank
is
you.
A long.
Thank you, Gernot.
This is a long. I mean, I don't have to explain it for you. I mean,
no. I lost the question. Sometimes I talk so I don't. Usually, I don't talk so much, but then when I answer, then I lost the question.
So since the beginning, it was always like complicated or a big task to combine different tempi and different music genres for us. So it's not very often have this kind of like fluent moment in a DJ booth, like a house DJ who plays the whole night 120 BPM. Maybe he ends up 130, but our tempo ranges from 100 till 160, which is 60 BPM. And so it's always it's very challenging all the time. That's it.
No, I was going to ask, what's the most like sort of avant-garde thing you've played recently that worked on the dance floor? Well, so like you must have dropped something. You're like, I don't know if this is going to work. I'm going to go for it.
I have always situations like this. Like every set, it's always like this. Last night, for example, we played at Fuse Club in Brussels, which is a very techno-educated crowd who goes there. And I mean, it's a classic techno place. It's like Tresor. And I tried to play, I played a song from a young artist called Josie Devil from Bristol. It's a new track on his actual release on Nervous Horizon called MESH. And so it starts in a 4-4 and has a dubstep break in the middle and ends in a 4-4. And I could see in the faces of the people that was just too much for them. So, but I tried two tracks after, I tried another challenge with them. And after a while, you get it. So this is actually the curse being an eclectic DJ.
So your Body Language Volume 8 mix is a classic, is an absolute classic. Do you think the new DJ Kicks is in that lineage?
If it's already in classic, or I don't know. I haven't listened to the Boogie Bites mix
the
Body Language mix since ages. So, but I think it's the same. It carries the same spirit, I would say.
Well, like this hip hop, for example, like one of the things I always loved about that mix was like the Missy Elliott tune that came in, and like in the new mix, you got Little Sims, for example. You know, kind of. I guess for a bit in the same line for me.
Yeah, I think this is our style, combining the worlds together, and loving all types of music. And as I told you, we haven't planned the mix at all. That really happened.
I think we started the mix in the middle. We put all the tracks together in one folder, and then let's see what happened. At one point, somewhere in the middle, where in the first half, okay, let's put a track and then let's see what's going on. And then another track came, and then we put it before. So it's a process.
There was no chronological start from, like, we didn't start with track one. So I think we started pretty much in the end. And then,
Obviously today, 2025, there are so many mixes available online, on SoundCloud, that kind of thing. What do you think, what role do you think like a sort of DJ Kicks has today?
I think DJ Kicks is the kind of like the, how can I say it? It gives the DJ the value being an artist. So this was missing on our bucket list, because we released many records and we play live, we have two bands and many other projects, but we never had this kind of like crown getting knighted moment. And I think DJ Kicks is the mother of all DJ mixes, and it's an institution. It's like a strong brand coming out of a subculture.
Do you have any particular favorites, DJ Kicks?
Yeah, there are a few. I have actually a weird one. It's the second one from Carl Craig.
Oh, that's a great, yeah.
And back then they went to the club and recorded the set in the club. And so it is full of mistakes and like natural DJ moments, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. So I've read that you, as a band, are currently in a state of transition. In what way?
So what? Say it again.
I've read that you're currently in a state of transition.
Ah.
I think you're changing your studio, is that right? Or you have recently changed your studio or something? So,
yes, we do that from time to time.
To shake things up, to kind of keep it...
To change the surrounding to have... We need to put plants in the new studio, so that's you always forget it. So sometimes it's better to change a place to have new energy.
Yeah, we had a studio for a long time in the city center, and it was on top of a club. And the club got more and more tourist place, and like 5 years ago they had only parties on the weekend and now they have parties from Wednesday till Tuesday. And so there were like 24/7 people, and it was just not nice anymore. So we had to escape. but there were so many people all the time in the yard, when, so we had to basically cross the wardrobe of the club to get into our studio.
Right.
And so we got this thing for our key. We showed the bouncers that they let us pass through because the people are lining up. There are hundreds of meters.
You know, when we came back from tour on Sunday by tour with tour bus, and then we
was all the equipment
unloading all the stuff and crossing the yard, and then you see it, you know,
like all these people making party.
Was a collision, colliding. But
I can imagine when you get back from tour, you kind of want to relax a bit, maybe.
Just want to go home and just want to shorten the process of loadout, you know, and that was not really possible.
But another fact is the landlord of the building, he doubled the renting price.
Yeah, so from that, one day
I think
to
that's
the
worldwide
the
same.
Doubled.
Yeah, yeah, doubled.
And we couldn't escape the renting contract earlier. No. So it was, I don't know, this is a classic Berlin thing. They have a law that you cannot raise the rents for living space. So they double all the other space for offices and studios.
Charming. Yeah. Charming.
It's good, yeah.
Thanks, so, Berlin.
And we shared our studio with Detman, with Marcel. And so we got homeless from one day to the other. And or not really from one day to the other, but we had to look for some new spots. And we found a really cool spot and set it up a Moderat studio together with Sascha. And it's kind of like a,
it's a lab.
Rehearsal place, lab, whatever.
Do you expect your music to change now you're in a new environment?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think the environment is always important for the mental health and for the clearness. And we also changed a lot with the labels and everything. So we have a smaller office now and trying to focus the energy better.
I think you once said, sorry to quote something back to you, we don't go to the studio with a purpose. What is that?
We can't. So, I mean, we go to the studio with the purpose to make a coffee first and see what's going to happen. But this doesn't work out most of the time, of course. So maybe change a little bit during the time. We have a purpose on making new songs or making a mix or making a remix or trying to...
Or continue working on the song from yesterday or from last week. So you always have a purpose.
But you'd never go in like, right, now we're going to make a dance floor.
No, never. This is not possible. It's not, we don't do that on purpose. It's just like we are, you know. For example, when we collaborate with a vocalist, we always talk before and send the music and see what's going to happen. So it's not necessarily a plan behind it, you know? Never, ever.
Talking of vocalists, you've worked a few times with Paul Saint-Hilaire, who is an amazing, amazing vocalist. What's he like to work with?
Very relaxing. Yes. Yeah. He's more Shari's brother.
One day before or after my birthday. So he's really related to me.
No, but they are similar characters and more quiet, and we go along well with him. I'm happy about his new record.
Yeah, it's a great record, yeah? With the producers, I think it's called.
Exactly. With some artists. I think we never released a Mode Selector record without him. Doch, who else didn't have a feature, right? But he was on 3 or 4 Mode Selector albums.
Jerry, you once said, I think it was you, I'm looking for happy accidents. Tell me about, what's your favorite accident in your music? When has something gone weird and you feel like that's perfect?
I hate that question. Because you can't forecast an accident. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm thinking of something that's happened in the past, some time when it happened and you...
Like, so in the past, when the software, talking about 10, 12, 15 years ago, software was still buggy, computers were great, software buggy and also great in the same moment. And then when you do a bounce, a rendering, and sometimes you have glitches, really weird glitches. So then you think, wow, this is a really nice glitch. So, and then you bounce again, and so it's gone. So, and then you save the glitch, you're cutting it out, and then so, yes. So, for example, that's a happy accident, or I don't know. It's trial and error. You try out something, or you're using plugins in the wrong way, and then, or your CPU limit is on the maximum, and then you have also that kind of accidents which are not planned. So, which are not planned also from the manufacturer. Hey, this is really great, and then oh my god, the CPU is an 89%. So, and then
sounds to me like you have quite a good time in the studio, right? Like you kind of go there relaxed, and
what? The best, for example, accidents are going on before the process or after the process.
Right.
So when we go, we had that last week. So, and then so we were sitting on a track idea, and then so, and then let's make finish, and then so, and then we tried out something, and then
sitting another 2 hours.
So that's also a happy accident.
Yeah. This is the beauty of creation, I think, that you cannot control it. And I appreciate that a lot. When the magic happens, you know.
It's 4 years since Extended, right?
Is it 4 years already?
What's 4 years? Sorry.
Extended? Is it 4 years?
Yeah.
And you
released.
You called that a mixtape.
It's basically, I was thinking Extended, the album wasn't really visible during the COVID time for many reasons. One of the main reasons, I think, was that like everybody released an album every month because no one could be on tour. But our album was planned long time before, so it was supposed to come out exactly during COVID, and we released a mixtape, so a full album as a mixtape. So and while reflecting on that during the recording for the DJ Kicks, I was like, oh damn, this would have been the perfect DJ Kicks. So they didn't have only one license partner.
You.
Shari and me. And yeah, but that's why also the reason why we used a few tracks from the Extended album for the DJ Kicks.
Yeah, yeah.
And to make them visible.
So to give them a boost.
Yeah, like talking about Tiki Man, yeah, Paul Santillea, there's one track on the DJ Kicks called Movement with him, which was on the Extended album. And I got so many messages from people who didn't know about the song, and they follow us. So sometimes stuff like this happens.
Well, I was going to say that there was extended chords, EXTLP, there was Missed Opportunities, all came out in 1 year. Did it feel a bit like a purge, a bit like get it out? And
yeah, maybe I mean, this was a time when a transformation process started. After that we changed the studio, so it was, I don't know, we were a little bit desperate also at that time, you know. That was like COVID was like really a bad time for us and mentally. And and we have children, and they had homeschooling now, and we couldn't play, we couldn't go out, and everything was unsafe, and everything is over now. And so we just had the feel to put as much as music out as possible. And yeah, but sometimes less is more, you know?
Yeah.
And and we always did that, you know, we always were less is more, like we didn't release too much, you know, and I think we learned from that. Yeah.
Talking about COVID, there's been a lot of talk about how club life, nightclubbing has changed since COVID. There certainly was a lot of talk about it. You obviously spend a lot of your time in clubs. Do you think it really did change after COVID, or do you think it's sort of the same as it ever was?
I think the core is the same, but it changed a lot at the same time too. So I have a 18 years old son now.
18, wow.
Yeah, and who is in his clubbing discovering period now. But the kids these days don't go to clubs in Berlin. I just can talk about Berlin. They do the parties by day in a park and end up in someone's house. But they don't have this excess fever, the will to get wasted on a dance floor is not, it's not strong enough. Kids, you have to... And this is just because they missed, there's a whole generation who missed the socialization process of, being on a dance floor in a nightclub. And think this will recover, but it got already divided in the techno world. What we observe and see is that you have the kind of like TikTok techno, hard techno community, which is very, or not just hard, also very soft. Yeah, so it's, but this is all stuff and music which is based on visibility and on ego. So you see everything and you want to be seen, and it's important that you are be seen and that everybody sees what you see. So it's about the setting, the setup, the look, the people. And now you see all these clips in the internet with these massive parties where no one is dancing and everyone's filming. And so this is like all this algorithm-based intruding energy to the subculture and nightlife affected the true spirit of techno and electronic music a lot, I think. And COVID was the enhancer for this, but you have more and more people who do exactly the opposite now because they are aware doing that. And I think we are part of this community. So we got forced from promoters and people to make little advertisements for our tour. And we are not used into doing that, you know, or that someone films us while we play and stuff. And we actually really don't like it, because what happens in a club stays in a club, basically. And this is what clubs like Berghain or other clubs are fighting for, you know, that what happened on a dance floor stays on a dance floor. And if you want to discover it, you should come yourself and make your own experience. And I think this affects also the way of production and DJing, and everybody's a DJ now, but we are not fancy looking in a DJ booth and surrounded by beautiful human beings and wearing high fashion shit. So, and we also don't play pre-recorded edits or DJ part or DJ sets. So we try to DJ in real, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes not. But
well, this is something I find really hard, because I kind of agree with you that it would be good if people were on their phones less in clubs. But at the same time, personally, I don't I think it's a bit harsh to sort of stop people doing it, if you know what I mean. Where do you stand on that? Like, I mean, do you think you can stop people, or do you think it's a bit harsh? Or
can't stop it. The people need dopamine, you know, all that response. So that's one part, and the other part, it's Gernot was talking about. It's good that it goes in any direction, so in almost any direction.
Yeah, but I think, rules, I was always against rules, you know, and techno is punk, you know, and anarchy. And I think the people should find out and see it as kind of uncool doing it, you know, so they should feel ashamed filming themselves. And this is the only way how it works. I think this is a longer process, but, you know, when you have a club with this rule and it's part of the rule, then I think it's okay doing it. So I'm not against that. So, but I had situations already years ago. We played with Moderat somewhere in Italy, I think. And everybody was filming. That was when all these social media thing really boosted and started getting big. It was maybe 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago or 9 years, I don't know, something like that. And Sasha stopped the band and asked the people to stop filming, and no one stopped filming. And then he got pissed and left the stage.
Wow.
And the people didn't stop filming. And I realized in this moment, so we went backstage and talked to him, and then we convinced him, and then he came back and we finished the set. But that was the moment when I realized that it's not going to happen, that it's not, you cannot stop it. That's a process now. It is what it is now.
So I show you how they filmed, you know, when you imagine staying on stage and performing and 200 people filming like this.
Oof.
In front of you. So it's bright.
It's painting. It's painting you everything.
Don't film. Just dance. Thank you so much for coming to do this. Listen to DJ Kicks. It's fantastic. Go and dance. Put your phone down for a bit. Just go and dance. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.